Today is the 31st day of August. The final day of the month of August. So here we are in the depths of the summertime, at least here in the rolling hills of Tennessee. I realize that it's the heat of the winter. It's the chill of the winter in the southern hemisphere, but it's nice and toasty here at the end of another one of our months together. And we have all gathered around the global campfire for a primary purpose, that is to take the next step forward in the scriptures. And so as we end this month, we find ourselves situated in the, well, at the end of a couple of books. We are in the book of Job, which we will continue forward into the next month, and the book of 2 Corinthians, which we will also carry over into the next month. But in order to do any of that, we have to take the next step forward. And our next step leads us into Job. And today, before we finish our reading, God will show up. Job 37, 38, and 39. Elihu continued, "My heart pounds because of this and jumps out of its place. Listen, listen to the roar of God's voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He flashes his lightning everywhere under heaven. His light flashes to the ends of the earth. It is followed by the roar of his voice. He thunders with his majestic voice. He doesn't hold the lightning back when his thunder is heard. God's voice thunders in miraculous ways. It does great things that we cannot understand. He says to the snow, 'Fall to the ground,' and to the pouring rain, 'Rain harder.' He makes it impossible to do anything so that people will recognize his work. Animals go into their dens and stay in their lairs. A storm comes out of its chamber. It is cold because of the strong winds. God's breath produces ice and the seas freeze over. Yes, he loads the thick clouds with moisture and scatters his lightning from the clouds. He guides the clouds as they churn round and round over the face of the inhabited earth to do everything he orders them. Whether for discipline or for the good of his earth or out of mercy, he makes the storm appear. Open your ears to this, Job. Stop and consider God's miracles. Do you know how God controls them and makes the lightning flash from his clouds? Do you know how the clouds drift? These are the miracles of the one who knows everything. You whose clothes are hot and sweaty when the earth is calm under a south wind? Can you stretch out the skies with him and make them as firm as a mirror made of metal? Teach us what we should say to him. We are unable to prepare a case because of darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Can a person speak when he is confused? People can't look at the sun when it's bright among the clouds, or after the wind has blown and cleared those clouds away. A golden light comes from the north. A terrifying majesty is around God. The Almighty, whom we can't reach, is great in power and judgment, has more than enough righteousness, and does not oppress. That is why people should fear him. He does not respect those who think they're wise." Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, "Who is this that belittles my advice with words that do not show any knowledge about it? Brace yourself like a man. I will ask you, and you will teach me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have such insight. Who determined its dimensions? Certainly you know. Who stretched a measuring line over it? On what were its footings sunk? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut the sea behind gates when it burst through and came out of the womb? When I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it up in dark clouds? When I set a limit for it and put up bars and gates? When I said, you may come this far, but no farther. Here your proud waves will stop. Have you ever given orders to the morning, or assigned a place for the dawn so that it could grab the earth by its edges and shake wicked people out of it? The earth changes like clay stamped by a seal, and parts of it stand like folds in clothing. Wicked people are deprived of their light, and an arm raised in victory is broken. Have you gone to the springs in the sea or walked through the valleys of the ocean depths? Have the gateways to death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gateways to total darkness? Have you even considered how wide the earth is? Tell me if you know all of this. What is the way to the place where light lives? Where is the home of darkness, so that you may lead it to its territory, so that you may know the path to its home? You must know, because you were born then and have lived such a long time. Have you been to the warehouses where snow is stored, or seen the warehouses for hail that I have stored up for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? Which is the way to the place where light is scattered and the east wind is spread across the earth? Who made a channel for the flooding rains and a path for the thunderstorms, to bring rain on a land where no one lives, on a desert where there are no humans, to saturate the desolate wasteland in order to make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who gave birth to the dewdrops? From whose womb came the ice? And who has given birth to the frost in the air? The water hardens like a stone, and the surface of the ocean freezes over. Can you connect the chains of the constellation Pleiades or untie the ropes of Orion? Can you bring out the constellations at the right time or guide Ursa Major with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the sky or make them rule the earth? Can you call to the clouds and have a flood of water cover you? Can you send lightning flashes so that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who put wisdom in the heart or gave understanding to the mind? Who is wise enough to count the clouds or pour out the water jars of heaven when the dirt hardens into clumps and the soil clings together? Can you hunt prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of her cubs as they crouch in their dens and lie ready to ambush from their lairs? Who provides food for the crow when its young ones cry to God and wander around in need of food? Do you know the time when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch the does when they are in labor? Can you count the months they are pregnant or know the time when they'll give birth? They kneel down to give birth and deliver their young. Then the pain of giving birth is over. Their young are healthy and grow up in the wild. They leave and don't come back. Who lets the wild donkey go free? Who unties the ropes of the wild donkey? I gave it the desert to live in and the salt flats as its dwelling place. It laughs at the noise of the city and doesn't even listen to the shouting of its master. It explores the mountains for its pasture and looks for anything green. Will the wild ox agree to serve you? Or will it stay at night because of your feeding trough? Can you guide a wild ox in a furrow? Or will it plow the valleys behind you? Can you trust it just because it's so strong, or leave your labor to it? Can you rely on it to bring your grain back and take it to your threshing floor? Does the ostrich flap its wings in joy, or do its wings lack feathers? It lays its eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. It forgets that a foot may crush them or a wild animal may trample them. It acts harshly towards its young as if they weren't its own. It is not afraid that its work is for nothing, because God has deprived it of wisdom and did not give it any understanding. It laughs at the horse and its rider when it gets up to flee. Can you give strength to a horse or dress its neck with a flowing mane? Can you make it leap like a locust when its snorting causes terror? It paws in strength and finds joy in its power. It charges into battle. It laughs at fear, is afraid of nothing, and doesn't back away from swords. A quiver of arrows rattles on it, along with the flashing spear and javelin. Anxious and excited, the horse eats up the ground and doesn't trust the sound of the ram's horn. As often as the horn sounds, the horse says, "Aha!" and it smells the battle far away, the thundering orders of the captains and the battle cries. Does your understanding make a bird of prey fly and spread its wings toward the south? Is it by your order that the eagle flies high and makes its nest on the heights? It perches for the night on a cliff. Its fortress is on a jagged peak. From there it seeks food, and its eyes see it from far away. Its young ones feed on blood. It is found wherever there are dead bodies. Second Corinthians 4:13 through 5:10. The following is written: I believed, therefore I spoke. We have that same spirit of faith. We also believe, therefore we also speak. We know that the one who brought the Lord Jesus back to life will also bring us back to life through Jesus. He will present us to God together with you. All this is for your sake, so that as God's kindness overflows in the lives of many people, it will produce even more thanksgiving to the glory of God. That is why we are not discouraged. Though outwardly we are wearing out, inwardly, we are renewed day by day. Our suffering is light and temporary, and is producing for us an eternal glory that is greater than anything we can imagine. We don't look for things that can be seen, but for things that can't be seen. Things that can be seen are only temporary, but things that can't be seen last forever. We know that if the life we live here on earth is ever taken down like a tent, we still have a building from God. It is an eternal house in heaven that isn't made by human hands. In our present tent-like existence, we sigh, since we long to put on the house we will have in heaven. After we have put it on, we won't be naked. While we are in this tent, we sigh. We feel distressed because we don't want to take off the tent, but we do want to put on the eternal house. Then eternal life will put an end to our mortal existence. God has prepared us for this and has given us His Spirit to guarantee it. So we are always confident. We know that as long as we are living in these bodies, we are living away from the Lord. Indeed, our lives are guided by faith, not by sight. We are confident and prefer to live away from this body and to live with the Lord. Whether we live in the body or move out of it, our goal is to be pleasing to Him. All of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. Then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or evil they have done while living in their bodies. Psalm 44, 9-26. But now you have rejected and disgraced us. You do not even go along with our armies. You make us retreat from the enemy. those who hate us rob us at will. You hand us over to be butchered like sheep and scatter us among the nations. You sell your people for almost nothing, and at that price, you have gained nothing. You made us a disgrace to our neighbors and an object of ridicule and contempt to those around us. You made our defeat a proverb among the nations, so that people shake their heads at us. All day long, my disgrace is in front of me. Shame covers my face because of the words of those who insult and slander us, because of the presence of the enemy and the avenger. Although all of this happened to us, we never forgot you. We never ignored your promise. Our hearts never turned away. Our feet never left your path. Yet you crushed us in a place for jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we forgot the name of our God or stretched out our hands to pray to another God, wouldn't God find out since he knows the secrets in our hearts? Indeed, we are being killed all day long because of you. We are thought of as sheep to be slaughtered. Wake up! Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Awake! Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our suffering and misery? Our souls are bowing in the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Arise! Help us! Rescue us because of your mercy. Proverbs 22:13. A lazy person says, "There's a lion outside. I'll be murdered in the streets." Okay, so we are wrapping up the book of Job. We will conclude the book of Job tomorrow. And in today's reading, God shows up and starts speaking. And if we remember when we started this journey, we watched the unthinkable happen to Job, right? Really, just impossible to process that kind of tragedy, that level of tragedy, that systematically could happen to any person. Like, it's the worst day in history for a human being, basically. And we watch Job respond by grieving in deep sadness and worshiping God and just waiting, even when everyone had written him off and told him to, like, his wife even told him, curse God and die, which is so distressing. But he's waiting, and his friends show up and they sit Shiva, and then they start having a conversation, and Job begins to share what happened and what's going on. And he begins to share that he's really, really confused by it all, because he's a righteous man and he's done everything he's literally watched his every move and every step to not make a misstep before God, that he's dedicated his life to being righteous. So he's very, very confused about the complete destruction of life as he knew it. And he would love to talk to God about it so that he could find out why this is happening. It's then that his friends begin to speak and they begin to comfort Job. And then Job begins to say, yeah, that's not helping. I already know that. And so they go up a notch and they start telling Job that God would never do something like this. If God did this to you, then you deserved it in some sort of way. Maybe we need to explore that a little bit. Let's talk about that a little bit. Of course, Job is adamant about his innocence. And so once it becomes really, really clear that Job's not just speaking from grief and anxiety and everything, that he's actually trying to say he's innocent and does not deserve this, well, then his friends have a dilemma, because now they're put in the position of defending God, and that's Job's problem. You guys are sitting there on God's side defending God, but you don't have anything to tell me that I don't already know. And so none of us can actually get to the end of the road. You're despising me because I'm claiming innocence before God, but I am innocent before God, and there's no one to prove it. Like, we're all stuck here at an impasse. you are certain that you know what God is going to do and what God is not going to do, and that you know the ways of God, but you don't know the ways of God any more than I do, and this happened to me. And so there's a missing piece somewhere, and the only person who knows is God, but wherever I go, I can't find him. And this goes back and forth and back and forth, and it gets more and more intense until they are arguing and insulting each other. We might even refer to our reading from Proverbs yesterday about the mocker and say, yeah, we can see that at some point things shifted and got personal here. And so they're having a full-on argument. And then everybody runs out of things to say. And then there's a fourth character, Elihu, who has been sitting there silent, and he begins to speak up. And he has a lot to say, and it took a couple days to get through all that he has to say. And then the Lord showed up. And he said, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man. I have some questions to ask of you, and you're gonna answer me. Man, like, I can't come by this portion of Job when God shows up. I just sat and thought what that would be like. I see Job's plight. We've read Job's plight, and we wrestle with it in our own lives when we're asking why and we don't have the answers. And so we can see all of the turmoil in the book of Job being very, very human, trying to figure this out. But then God shows up. And I just think about that. Man, that would be so, like, how would we describe, like, overwhelming, terrifying, probably, like, literally mind-blowing, awe-inspiring, hopeful, yet, like, fearful. I mean, God shows up in the storm and begins to speak. God is being heard by these people's ears. That's amazing. It's an amazing scene. And God does begin to ask questions, and he begins to ask questions that don't have answers, that no human being has the answers to. And we're beginning to see there's a lot that we don't have answers for. We start asking the questions that are existential because we're suffering, but we don't have the answers to just about anything. We can go through our lives with all of this confidence when we're not feeling depressed, when we're not feeling anxious or any of the darker emotions. We can go through with confidence like we are holding the world by the horns. We've got this. We are in control. We are no more in control than when we are suffering. We don't have the answers. But Job just has to stand there and be asked questions that he can't answer. And that's kind of where we leave things today. And we will conclude the book of Job tomorrow. And Job has gotten what he wanted. What he wanted was to find God and speak directly with God about his plight. And so he gets the chance to say what he needs to say. And we'll get to hear that tomorrow. And then in 2 Corinthians, we're watching Paul defend himself. He's been accused. Like, this is kind of an accusation that Paul made the whole thing up. That this Jesus thing and all of the theology that he formed around it, this is his way. He, like, made this religion up to manipulate people, to exploit people and to control them. And Paul's kind of responding by essentially saying, look, I get what you're saying here, but trust me on this one. If that's what I were going for, if that were the goal, this is not the job I'd be doing. Like, this isn't what I would be doing. If I wanted to exploit people and control people and manipulate people, then I wouldn't be doing a job that constantly gets me persecuted to the point of death. As we can hear from his own pen, basically, from these letters, Paul believed absolutely that God was transforming humanity through Jesus Christ. His death was one thing, but his resurrection, that was the thing. The firstborn of a new kind of human, one reunited with God. This is Paul's deep conviction. He believed that which was dying would eventually be swallowed up by life in the end. And that all that we are going through right now, all of the hardships, all of the things that we're saying, why me, about, this is part of it. This is what it looks like to see all things being made new in the world. So Job has questions of endurance and suffering. Paul has questions of endurance and suffering. But Paul's conviction is it's not purposeless. This is going somewhere. And so let's consider that as we consider our own valley seasons. And Jesus, as we think, I mean, some of us are in the depths of the valley right now. We literally can't find the sunshine anymore. We're under such deep, deep problems, circumstances that we don't know how to navigate. Anxiety that it's just like a ball of rubber bands that we can't untangle. Depression that's like a cloud that just follows us everywhere we go. Some of us are in that place. Others of us are up at the top and we're just walking at sea level and we're just making our way. And then others of us are on the mountaintops right now. We're all over the place in our stories and in our experiences, and you are in all of it. But we have a hard time interpreting the valley seasons. We have a hard time interpreting lots of things. We don't know all that we think that we know. But you have told us that there is a comforter. There is a spirit of truth that will lead us into all truth while comforting us on the way. And so come, Holy Spirit, and comfort us and lead us into all truth. Lead us on the way that we should go and help us to interpret our circumstances appropriately through the lens of the fact that this is all going somewhere. It's not purposeless. Nothing gets wasted. All things are being made new. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base, and that is certainly a place to find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app will do that, and a lot more, especially as we make progress on our journey through the scriptures. So check out the Daily Audio Bible app. That's free, and it is at the app store that works with your phone or tablet. And while you're checking things out, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there, like Promised Land Films, where you can kind of zoom in and actually look at the places that we're reading about, situate yourself in those stories, or the Coffee Table Promised Land photograph edition, where you can just kind of thumb through and imagine these different stories that we're reading about, or different reading materials, different books that take deep dives on things, or the coffee and tea in the shop, or the different categories, things to wear, things to write with and journal with. Check it out. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at the same place, dailyaudiobible.com. Or in the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-877-877. 972-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB family. This is Rachel calling from Pennsylvania. I just wanted to call in and pray for all the youth, whether they be going back to elementary school, high school, college, or just recently got out. Father, I lift them up before you today, and I give thanks unto you for them. I cover them in the blood of Jesus, Lord. I cover their mind, their thoughts, their will, and emotions under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I come against every spirit that would attack their mind, their identity, their purpose, like fear, anxiety, suicide, whatever it may be that they're struggling with, addiction, because they all have a purpose, God, and they're under so much more attack and adversity than previous generations. But I know they are important to you and they matter. So Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them. And I pray that each one of them that's listening, whatever they're going through, that they would know that they are loved by you and you have never left them nor forsaken them. God, I thank you for this generation because they are the generation that will seek your face and help us all. I thank you for them, Lord, because I feel like they need encouragement right now because there's so many things coming against them and so many people putting them down, and they are at times suffering in silence. But Lord, you see and you know everything that they're dealing with. So I give you all the glory and I thank you for them. And I pray that they all be encouraged, every single one of you. Renzo, I've heard you call in a few times. And then the one young lady who prayed for her friend, Quill, who is experiencing hardships. Just every single one of you, you are loved by God. And I pray that the Lord strengthen you and keep you. And I just want you to know that I hear and I see you guys, and I am praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Delta Alpha Foxtrot, just chiming in. I'm heading home from my parents' home in Roxdown, Texas, to my home in San Antonio, Texas. And I just wanted to ask you guys for some prayer for my mom. She had a stroke back in December, and my sisters and I have been cycling through giving care. She's getting a lot better physically. But there's definitely some spiritual oppression going on there. She gets sad and just very emotional. And I think it's a lot of it's tied to my brother's death. My brother was an addict. He passed away a couple of years ago. And so I think there's some spiritual oppression going on there. And I want to ask the family to pray against that for us and to cast that spirit of sadness, of depression, into the hands of Jesus for final judgment. Thank you. God bless you. Just want to give a shout out to Blind Tony. Heard you playing the flute, man. I heard the flute come on and I was like, oh, this is lovely. And then when I heard your voice, I was like, that's Blind Tony playing the flute. I love it. All right, folks. It's your boy Delta Alpha Foxtrot calling from the South and Central Texas front. God bless you all.
Hi, DAB family. This is Thankful and Still, and I'm calling in response to the beginning of July's community prayer. Lord, I just lift up sons to you, sons that are grown and that are struggling with mental illness, and one that was a brother that I heard about. So I lift up a son, Nathan, to you, a brother, Nathan, to you, as they recover from alcoholism, as there's, you know, mental illness diagnoses, and just the struggle with drugs and how to cope and how to be able to function under these circumstances. And I pray for freedom from the dependencies on substances to try to live, I guess, what we call a normal or a functional life. And I pray freedom and I pray healing in Jesus' name. And I also pray for Jason. I think, Marjorie, that's your son that sometimes, with the alcohol, that, Lord, just like one of my sisters on the DAB says, that it would be just grows, that the desire would be such a letdown whenever they consume alcohol or drugs or of abuse. And so I lift up our sons. I pray for healing. I pray for salvation. I pray for utter dependence on you, Lord, every step of the way, every step of every day, and other children that are suffering and struggling through this. And Sparkly, I just want to thank you for your testimony and others that have shared how the Lord has helped you to overcome different battles, especially with alcohol. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, my incredible Dab fam. This is Kingdom Seeker Daniel and
Lady of Victory.
And family, we just wanted to stop by and pray for our dear sister, Little Leaf. Sis, we heard you and we hear you. And our hearts are going out to you. I personally want to applaud you, first of all, for pressing through an extremely hard place. And I just want you to know God is with you. And even in the uncertainties of your decisions, He is with you. And as you continue to lean into Him for wisdom, knowledge, and guidance, He's going to help you through to make the right decision. And so, Father, I pray for our dear sister, Little Leaf, that you would give her the grace to wait on you, to wait in hope as you are at work in her husband's life, who is obviously disturbed and not in his right mind. Father, we're praying that you would bring him to his right mind and cause, Lord God, a turnaround in this man's heart. And I pray that in the meantime that you will continue to keep Little Leaf, guard her heart, and walk her through in Jesus' name.
And we even pray, God, for the little baby and God, even the other woman, that you would turn this situation around for your good, for their good, and for your glory. God, and we ask that you would let Little Leaf know that it's okay not to be okay. Mm. And I too applaud you, yes, for just standing strong in the face of adversities. And when you remember, when you can't trust his hand, trust God's heart. He loves you.
Amen.